God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. Okay, so I just want to ask one question. Is there anybody here who's never been on a Vision for You meeting? Yay. Okay, lots of people. Good, great. We're glad you're here. Okay, so I just want to welcome everyone. This is not how we normally do a Vision for You meeting, but if you come back tomorrow from 5 to 6, we are going to have a live Vision for You meeting. So, but today we're going to play a game, a few games, and there's prizes, so do your best. And we have a couple of speakers, and then at the end we'll have a Q&A period. So let's, should we do the easy game first, where if you look under your chair, well, actually, yeah, why don't you pass those out, get someone to help you pass those out, while everyone looks under their chair and see if there's something that says you are a winner. You have to get up and look, because it's a sticker. No. It's over there. Yep, I thought so.
Woo-hoo!
Okay. She needs to know. Open this up and you can find out what this is. The CD set. Oh, nice. Okay. Oh, and people, you may need a pen. Does anybody not have a pen? We have pens up here to play the game. Oh, I can do tons. Okay, so we're going to do the first game. It says on the front, game number one. Oh, actually, no, it says answers to three-word game. So, oh, no, that's the answers. I'm sorry, I just got here. I'm really... Yeah, but where is it? Three-word game. Does everybody have the three-word game? Does everybody have the three-word game? Yeah. Okay. Okay, so how many minutes did they get? 3 minutes?
3 minutes. Whatever you think.
I don't know. I haven't even looked at it. 2 minutes is enough? Okay, you get 2 minutes on your mark. Get set. So you say what they all are. What are all of the things? Yeah, so the first one, it's a three-word game, and you...
This one right here.
So then you put what they all are. They all should have something in common. Okay, well, I just started the timer, so you're good.
Okay, your time's up.
Okay, time's up. So just mark your own, and whoever will just, at the end, we'll just figure out who got the most, and you'll get a prize. And then we'll move on to a speaker. We're used to that, okay? You can just sit there and listen. Okay. Number one. Who got number one?
Tables.
Tables, right. Number two.
Worms.
Number three.
Rings.
Number four.
Cracks.
Yes. Number, they're cracked, egg, cracked eggs, whatever. Five?
Whites.
Whites, right. Six?
Berries.
Very good. Seven?
Bowls.
Eight? Oh, okay. So we have tables, worms, rings, cracked, whites, berries, holes, eight? Lincolns. Nine? Pitched. Ten.
Boards.
11.
Poles.
Right. 12.
Tellers.
I got that one. 13.
Shells.
Yep. 14.
Carved.
Right.
Carved.
Carved. Pumpkin. Oh, yeah. You carve a pumpkin. Oh, yeah. Okay. 15. Wins, yes. 16, capes, right. 17, mail, I got that one. Types of mail, email, junk mail, electronic, or fan mail, yeah. 18, tuned, right. 19,
deliveries.
20,
pockets.
19 was deliveries, and 20 was pockets. Okay, who got them all right? You did? Very good. You wrote them down very quickly. Okay, who really and truly got 15? Wow, I think we have a winner. Anybody else get 19? Wow, see? She's not only beautiful, she's smart, and she's amazing. Do you want to go first or Marcella? Okay. Okay, and now I'm going to introduce our first speaker, who is Marcella, who's going to speak for 15 to 20 minutes.
My name is Marcella. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. It's good to be here. I have a home group. It's a Vision for You. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor. I have an abstinent date, which is February the 22nd of 2011. It took me a long time to memorize it, so I won't memorize any other. So I'll cling to that one. I shy away from any other literature that is not this book. I obsess over this book. I really believe that I will be a junkie the rest of my life. But this is my new drug. I study it in English and in Spanish. I'm tackling it in Hebrew. And I know that my disease is so sneaky that it'll seduce me with words. It'll seduce me with words. So... I love words, and I talk too much in English and in Spanish. And I made a living out of words because I'm a therapist outside in the world. And I believe that words recovered me from a seamless, hopeless state of mind and body. And that words will seduce me back into my disease. I joined OA, or I thought I joined OA, in 1985 in Mexico City, where I was born. And I was told to eat three times a day, nothing in between, in moderation. And the 12 steps were a poster that were for decoration in English, and nobody understood English, so they were just like there. And we had a fabulous fellowship, and we had parties and dances, and we kissed each other, and it was awesome. It was so much fun. And I lost a great amount of weight, and I will never forget the time that I lost it because I poured myself some orange juice, and I couldn't stop. I pour a second, a third, I read a pinch, the whole jar, and then I just went to marmalade jelly, he said, and then the jelly was missing the cookie, and then so that happened in 1986. And then I tried very hard to keep coming back and coming back and coming back. And then I realized, now that I look back, I realized that I was a potential alcoholic when I was 25 in Mexico City. And that's how it worked. I just had a fellowship, and I eat three times a day, nothing in between, all foods in moderation. I was free to define my own abstinence. And it worked for a year until it stopped working. And then I kept trying, and I kept trying, and trying, and then I was just so rebellious, and when I heard, you know, in other groups, like, no flour, no sugar, I said, of course I can handle a little bit of sugar and flour. You don't understand me. I did it for a year. Anyway, it didn't work anymore. So my disease had progressed. My disease had progressed. Then, you know, things happened, so I ended up in this country, and I kept so hard, you know, consuming group after group after group after group. I had so many sponsors, I don't even know how many, like hundreds. You probably sponsored me. I don't know. Try to sponsor me. I mean, as soon as my sponsor got a little weird than me, I would say, no, thank you. Like, you're not going to try to do this. No, thank you, no. I know the OA literature so well because I was one of the first persons that that translated it in Spanish, so I know it. I mean, I even wrote some of it. Like, I know that part, right? That's what I'm scared of, words. And then, so my disease kept progressing. When I was in my early 30s, I realized that if I drank enough white wine, I was not hungry. So instead of dinner, I replaced it with one bottle of white wine. And then it was two, and then it was three. And then it was the three bottles of white wine, the dinner, and the chocolate cake, right? So then in my early 40s, I realized that I discovered amphetamines. And amphetamines did the trick, and it was so good. I was skinny, skeleton-y, like standing on my eyelashes with anxiety. I couldn't sleep, but I was skinny, and I was not hungry. So, then I couldn't sleep. So I realized that if I had my amphetamine early in the morning and my alcohol late at night, I could be like this all day long, drink a lot of coffee and Diet Coke, very little food, everything in moderation. I call myself entirely abstinent in a way because, hello, alcohol is not sugar or flour, and amphetamines don't get close to them, right? So don't bother me, right? Okay. So that happened. Then I started having psychotic episodes. I'm the kind of person that much rather be in a psychiatric ward than fat. Much rather. So I would go in the psychiatric ward. What? Señora, ¿qué le pasó? Nothing. That's your job. You tell me what happened to me, right? Okay, so now it's the amphetamines, the opioids, the alcohol, the chocolate cake, and I lost the very last thing that one can lose, with attachment to life. And in all this period, 1985 to 2011, I tried to kill myself twice, and I was going for my third attempt. Now I had all the information, how to hoard the pills and all of that, and I went to AA. And in AA, I was met with this book, and a woman who said, give this a try. Give this an honest-to-God try. And I did. And guess what? I put down the bottle. I put down all the pills. And I survived. But what happened? I knew what was going to happen. I gained 60 pounds in the first 60 days, right? I knew what was going to happen. But I persisted because if this works for alcohol and pills and opioids and amphetamines, it'll work with food. And I knew very early in the gig, they told me, I know there's a coffee shop meeting where people like obsess over the, maybe that'll work for you, right? Anyway, I kept eating and trying to control and moderate until I couldn't do it anymore. On February the 22nd of 2011, I ate an enormous amount of cookies and I didn't feel clean and I didn't feel sober. And now I know why, because now I'm studying in college the neuroendocrinology of this addiction. You know what? My body knows how to make alcohol. Just give me a little time. One of my very last binges was 4 pounds of raw broccoli. Raw broccoli is not flour, and it doesn't have any sugar. So leave me alone, right? I'm entirely abstinent. I ate 4 pounds of raw broccoli in 2 hours and a half. You know how many carbs there are? 66 grams of carbs and 15 grams of sugar. And you know what my body knows how to do with carbs and sugar and warm water? Alcohol. I metabolize sugar in a different way. I'm not normal. What can I tell you guys? I'm not normal. My body is not normal. My mind is not normal. My mind will always tell me, oh, come on already. Don't be like that. You're fanatic. Like, who are you? Like, what is a teeny little bit of this going to do to you, right? But my body said, give it to me. I'll handle it. I'll moderate. I'll show you, right? Well, no. So it took all of that suffering until I went to A Vision for You, and I prayed to God, and I say, I'm so done. The very first sponsor of A Vision for You that tells me, yes, I'll work with you, I'll just say, yes, 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 yes. So I got one. Blessings to her. She's not doing very well. She's too sick to sponsor me. She's like sick, physically sick, not like the disease sick, but. And she was kind of mean. She said, listen, I am too busy. I have 40 sponsees with you. Don't expect me to know your name. Okay? But we'll read the book 10 minutes at a time, no more than that. I don't want to know your soap opera. I don't want to. Well, just do the book. And, I don't sponsor people who drink, eat artificial sweeteners. And she gave me a list of, like, but you know what, guys? I was desperate already. Back in those days, it was really difficult to get a sponsor of a big book of A Vision for You. Now you can shop, right? You can call and call until you get the sponsor that will let you. Choose your own abstinence. Eat this, eat that. Do whatever you want. Now we can do that. I was lucky, right, enough to get those kind of sponsors that just cornered me. And I was desperate. And I just said, yes, 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 yes. And the miracle happened. Just like Kim was saying, 6 weeks, I was free. I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to. Well, at the very, very beginning, it was like 16 days. I felt that kind of like relief that I was not intoxicated anymore. Yeah, thank you. That I was not intoxicated anymore, I felt that relief. And then I really found something that is much better, much more pleasurable, much more delightful than any food I have ever tasted in my whole entire life. And that is the conscious awareness of a higher power that relieved me from this horrible obsession of mind and the endless craving of my body. Now, let me tell you one thing. I was born in a very religious family. The notion of prayer and meditation is not alien to me. I have studied formally, the scripture, we set aside in my family a lot of time for prayer and meditation. I have had many sweet experiences in addiction of God that didn't relieve me from this merciless obsession. It had to be the precise instructions that are in this book that are designed for addicts like me. And when I did this with a sponsor, and then after 6 weeks that I was just, I'm telling you guys, I was feeling, I mean, I lost some weight, but that's not the point. No, that's a lie. I love being skinny. I love being size 4. I really do. So I was a little, you know, lighter, but I really felt like I was walking on clouds. I was comfortable. I was not hungry. I was not craving. My body kind of like trusted me that I was not going to starve it anymore, and I started walking so comfortably. And then my sponsor said, well, now it's time to spread the message. It's time for you to sponsor people. So I just kept trying, chasing, shamelessly chasing a potential sponsee, like calling in a vision for you, like, do you need a sponsor? Do you need a sponsor? Do you need a sponsor? Right? Then one day I got a horrible resentment, and I told my sponsor, this vision for you people, they are rude. They have no manners. You call in a vision for you, and as soon as they read the paragraph, everybody starts yelling their name. Who wants to share? Me, everybody. I am polite. I wait until everybody yells their name, and I never get to share. So my sponsor said, well, if I understand well, you speak Spanish. And as far as I'm concerned, nobody's sharing in Spanish. So we started a teeny little thingy that I thought it was going to be 3 people, 12 tops, right? So we're 1,300 now in 17 Spanish-speaking countries. And yeah, God did it. To my endless surprise, airplane tickets started coming. I mean, easy for us to say buy airplane tickets in dollars. Let me tell you one thing. Spanish-speaking countries are not America. It takes hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of contributions to buy me an airplane ticket. I have traveled 13 times to Spanish-speaking countries with money collected by Spanish-speaking people, and we do nothing but study this book. Okay, now let me tell you the truth and only the truth, because that's what I came here from Boston to tell you. I am, as you can tell, an alcoholic. I'm not a moderate. I'm not a husband number 2. I'm not a husband number 3. I'm the real, honest to God alcoholic. My food plan reflects that fact. I don't drink alcohol, God forbid, knock on wood. I don't eat sugar or anything that resembles sugar. I don't manipulate my safe ingredients to resemble my alcoholic foods. I don't eat flour. And I'm just speaking for me. Don't get scared. This is just for me. I cannot handle grains, and I cannot handle fruit anymore because I'm violently addicted to the flavor, to the sweet flavor. That's just for me. It's just for me. I also have to eat with a schedule. Something very weird happens to me if I eat late at night, at sunset. I'm just like a vampire. The same exact abstinent meal that I eat in the morning is alcoholic for me if I eat it at night. There's a whole science on that, but that's what happens to me. So I am an alcoholic of that terrible. I mean, I don't have another relapse on me. If I relapse, I'll slide down to alcohol, to opiates, to amphetamines, to suicide. I just have one choice, and that is to remain very active in this activity. Because I am such an alcoholic, I sponsor everybody as if they had the same severity of addiction as me. Because imagine what would happen if somebody like me comes to me with a very warm, open, loving heart and tells me, oh, let's read this book and let's moderate. You know what would happen to me? I would die. I wouldn't have a chance. I really wouldn't have a chance. So I sponsor absolutely everybody as if they were as sick and as terminally diseased as I am. And I know that I cannot help everybody, but at least I won't harm anybody. And that's what I do. So we obsess about this book, right? In Spanish, it's really fun to do this because on top of dealing with the words, right, we have to say, oh, what's the culture of that, you know, those gringos right there? And then when they wrote, what did it really mean? And then the subtleties, because, you know, Spanish, it has like little, I mean, think of English from Texas, English from Florida, English from New York, right? English from Canada, English from Australia. Well, same thing, Spanish from Colombia, Spanish from Madrid, Spain, Spanish from Mexico City, right? So we obsess about the subtleties, you know, of translation and idea. And then we spend hours and hours and hours trying to translate just one line. And we have so much fun. Well, I never planned for this. I never had a strategy. I never thought that this was going to happen. It just happened. A lot of people were counting heads. In Una Visión Para Ti, we are 43 people with more than 1 year of entire abstinence. The kind of entire abstinence that is suitable for a person like me, entire, no-nonsense kind of entire abstinence for us. And we are counting heads, and we're 43 as of this morning, 1,300 people. So we will never get bored. We will never get bored. Just when we think that I am kind of like, what should I say? I like to sleep, and I like to be in bed. So what I did is that I memorized a few paragraphs so that I could sponsor on my pillow in my bed like this. So I do open your book to page 30, 47. 63, 75, 76, 84, 280. You're done. Go sponsor. It works with drug addicts. It works with people that are crystal meth and don't have the brains to really concentrate. It works for us, too. If I can help anybody, my name is Marcela. My phone number is 617-501-6275. We have a website in Spanish. It's called Una Visión Para Ti. O-A-U, V as in Victor, P as in Peter, T as in Tom, .info. And you can join. If you can travel to our Spanish-speaking countries, we welcome you. I'll translate for you. If you are learning Spanish, please come and learn Spanish with us. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Marcela. And so now we're going to play another game. I know some of you are excited and some of you not so much, but okay. Sorry, I'm not a professional. Okay, this is called. Yeah, so this is Big Book Game with blue writing. Oh, it's not blue. Okay, sorry. It just says Big Book Game, and so you're going to fill in the blanks. So there's a...
Can you use computer? I've got a Kindle.
No. Yeah, so there's not a line on the first one, but you'll see that there's a word missing.
You didn't get that one.
Oh, that was...
Hang on, who did not get...
Wait a minute, yeah.
Okay.
I've got the answer thing, so I sound like an idiot. Okay.
Marcela, I live in Boston. It's Marcela M, 617-501-6275. I live in Boston, which is Eastern Standard Time, and our website is oauvpt.info. Thank you.
Okay, so we'll give you 3 minutes for this one, okay? How many questions are there? There's only 10 questions. I don't even think you need 3 minutes. You might need 50 seconds. Okay, go. Okay, time's up. And y'all are welcome to yell out the answers. We of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a...
CCBD.
Yes. All these and many others have one in common, one symptom in common. Okay. Here lies a Hampshire grandeur who caught his death drinking cold small beer. A good soldier is ne'er forgot whether he dieth by musket or by pot.
Ominous,
yes. Ominous warning. They had told a simple religious idea and a practical program of
action.
That was 2 months ago, and the result was self-evident. It worked. We of Alcoholics Anonymous know thousands of men and women who were once just as hopeless as Bill. Nearly all have recovered. They have solved the drink problem. The fact is that most alcoholics, for reasons yet obscure, have lost the power of choice in drink. Our so-called willpower becomes practically non-existent. We are unable at certain times to bring into our consciousness with sufficient force the memory of the suffering and humiliation of even a week or a month ago. We are without defense against the first drink. Almost none of us like the self-searching, the leveling of our pride, the confession of shortcomings which the process requires for its successful
consummation.
Correct. Okay, we know that no real alcoholic ever recovers control. All of us felt at times that we were regaining control, but such intervals, usually brief, were inevitably followed by still less control, which led in time to pitiful and incomprehensible
demoralization.
Oh, okay, there's more on the back. Did y'all know that?
Not on
theirs. Not on theirs. Okay. 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 So. Oh, they have the answers. Okay. Okay, sorry. But the actual or potential alcoholic, with hardly an exception, will be absolutely unable to stop drinking on the basis of
self-knowledge.
If we were to live, we had to be free of anger. The grouch and the brainstorm were not for us. They may be the dubious luxury of normal men, but for alcoholics, these things are
poison.
Poison. Okay, did anybody get all 10? Yay. Yay. Did you, Reggie? Did you? Oh, Reggie did too.
Hey, you guys, put your name, write your name on the paper.
Do we have five? Do we have five? I think so.
We could. We could just do each one.
Yeah, because we have, yeah.
And then the next time we'll do something different. It's more than one. The next one's pretty easy too.
Yeah. Okay, so we have two winners for this one. Okay, and now I am happy to introduce our second guest speaker, Nancy J.
Yay!
Thank you. And Melanie's going to give you some.
Testing. Hello, my name is this loud enough? Can everybody hear that? Is this loud enough? Hello. I'll speak. If you can't hear me, please raise your hand so I know. Oh, one hand. Anyone else? Okay. I wonder if I can make it louder. Is there a way to? Because he told me that they're taping it, so I don't want to ruin their tape. Well, I'll just start out and try to be loud. And then when he comes in, maybe he can adjust it. My name is Nancy, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi.
I live in Geneva, Illinois, which is an hour west of Chicago. I'm originally a New Yorker. Maybe you can hear that in my voice. Proud New Yorker, born in Brooklyn. And came out to the Midwest when I met my husband 51 years ago. We've been married 51 years, and he's my biggest supporter. You'll see, I made a bunch of pictures, so please just hand them around, and you can see I've lost 105 pounds. I've kept it off for 5 years, which is the miracle, because, like, thank you, like many people here, we're generally great at losing weight. We're just great, and I am so wonderful when I'm on the diet. I have to laugh. I mean, every time I've been great when I was with Weight Watchers, and I was normal weight as a child and a teenager. I never thought about my body or my weight. I was just a normal weight. Once I got married and I started to have children, and I have 3 children and 7 grandchildren, and a great-granddaughter on the way, I just found out recently, and I'm just going to digress. I said to my daughter, who called me at the intermission today, just not knowing where I was, you know, as far as this event, so she called me, and I said, Jeanette, I'm going to be speaking to this group in a few minutes. What do you think? You've seen me on so many diets and so many different programs. What do you think, Jeanette, I should say? And she said, tell them how committed you are to your meetings. That's what really has shocked my family. I said to my husband recently, kind of fishing for compliments, I said to him, I said, what have you noticed about me this time? Because he's seen me on so many different things. He jokes, he says, Nancy, being married to you is like being married to 10 different women. Because this poor man has had me at every size and shape and mood. But I'm great at dieting. When I was in Weight Watchers, I was a leader for 3 different meetings, and I loved it. I just couldn't maintain. And I finally quit because I just felt under so much pressure speaking to all these people, but knowing that I was having a terrible time. And then I joined a health club, and I was their member of the month and the member of the year. I was in the newspaper with roses, like a beauty queen. That didn't last. You know, it lasted as long as it lasted. I tried Optifast, if any of you have tried that. I was terrific. I never did anything other than what they told you, is drink that powder and the liquid. And I faithfully went to their meetings. I lost almost 100 pounds and then put it all back on. And it's just terrible to go through these things. And you feel embarrassed. I would say to myself, I wonder how this person last saw me. You know how you try to think, what did I look like? And if you're going to a family like a wedding, well, how did I look the last time they saw me? It's so embarrassing. And then you start to isolate and stay at home because you're embarrassed. It really is embarrassing. And if you see my picture going around, and please just pass them all around. I used to catch a glimpse of myself here at my height, 272, 5 years ago. I would walk in a store and I'd see myself in a mirror or in a window of a store, and I'd think, that can't be me. It doesn't look like me. It was so shocking to see what I look like. And I started to be really embarrassed. My husband's big hobby is sailing. And he's always been very kind and understanding, which I'm very fortunate to be married to a man with so much compassion. And he just let me off the hook. If I didn't want to go with him to the harbor where he keeps his sailboat, I'd say, oh, I'm going to work this weekend. And he'd say, all right. But really, I didn't want to be there because the women, the wives of the sailors, the other women, who were really very nice women, they were pretty thin. They dressed well. Their hair looked nice. They wore makeup. I felt so unworthy of being with these women. I never said that to myself or my husband. I just said, oh, I have work to do. And so years passed when I didn't go with them on the weekends to the boat. And when I came back to OA after like 35 years, which was 5 years ago, everything changed. Because in the year that I lost, I lost 70 pounds in 2015 and then the other 35 in 2016. Losing that weight, I just automatically changed in so many ways. It's hard to really capture it in words. I started to go to the boat, and I started to look happy going to the boat. And someone even came up to me and said, can I ask you a question? And I said, yes. They said, are you in marriage counseling? You know, people will be very direct. They wanted to know why I'm coming and why I look happy. And I didn't know that I looked unhappy. You know, it's those little clues. I went to the dentist after losing almost 100 pounds at that point. The dentist was shocked. He said, my gums. He looked at my records. And, you don't think about your gums. But he said, your gums, it looks like a different mouth. And then he said, you know, and this really almost embarrassed me. His office is in the same building as my office. And he said, you know, I used to feel so sorry for you. We could see out the window of our dental office and see you walking to your car. And you looked, it was so hard for you to get in your car. And I thought, I didn't know people were watching me like that. You know, and they thought they were complimenting me, which they really were, but it stunned me really at what people were thinking. They wouldn't tell you that. And then I started to get, these are all the little things that changed. I started to get pedicures and manicures. And I went to the place. It's a Vietnamese place. A very nice lady named Lisa runs it. And she would do my the pedicure and the manicure. Well, with the pedicure, they like to rub your legs and massage your legs. And I told her, I said, please don't touch my legs. For some reason, it hurts me. And she looked so surprised. She'd never had anyone before tell her that hurt. And I said, yeah, for some reason, it kind of hurts me. Well, as she saw me lose all this weight, one day she looked up at me and she smiled and said, it doesn't hurt you now. I said, I wonder why. She said, circulation. And so those are the little teeny things. And then to show you as far as the transformation that happens when you go through these steps. And I should say I got a sponsor and went through the steps because I'm trying to be very concise in telling you my story because we only have, I think, about 15 minutes. So I want to hit the high points. But I was sitting in the chair getting the pedicure and the manicure, and I started to get very, very angry because all the technicians were talking in Vietnamese to each other. And I felt like, who in the world would do that? Here you've got a customer sitting there who doesn't know Vietnamese, and you're talking to each other, and I could feel myself getting angry, very angry. And then I thought, Nancy, this is not your program. You know, having been through the 12 steps, I thought, what can I do about being so angry? And I prayed, and I said, God, help me. What should I do to get rid of this anger? And if you could make it louder, it would be great.
Yeah.
Should I keep talking?
Yeah.
And so I prayed, God, what should I do? Oh, that's much better. I was really angry. I mean, not just a little angry, but furious that these people are talking in Vietnamese, and here I am, the customer in the chair. And this is the thought, and this happens to me so often. I will pray and ask for guidance. And I try to live pretty much the way it lays it out from pages 84 to 88. Beautiful instructions in the big book. And thy will, not mine, be done. God, tell me, what would you have me be? What should I do? And this was the answer that I got.
learn Vietnamese. Learn Vietnamese. It was so unexpected, the thought. So I'm really angry about the Vietnamese. And so I said to Lisa, who was working on me, I said, can you teach me how to say hello in Vietnamese? Cam ern you. I'm terrible at languages. It's the worst thing for me in school is languages. I struggle through Spanish. And cam ern you. And I started to say it again and again. And she smiled. I could tell I was really fracturing the word. You know, I mean, I wasn't doing a good job with this Vietnamese phrase. And the other women started to giggle. The other technicians started to giggle. I just did such a poor job on it. But I could tell they were very pleased. And it made me feel good. And all my anger was gone. And, you know, I feel myself choking up right now because these are the transformation, the transformative moments that you have in this program. It's so remarkable that when you pray for help, you get the help. And I say this as someone who's not religious. I have a Jewish background, but really pretty much a non-practicing Jew. I feel very connected to the Jewish people, but not really a religious practicing Jew. And when I ask for help, I get it. It's really that simple. And this comes from someone who most of my life I have not prayed or asked for help. And I still really don't know what I believe, but I don't let that stop me. I just ask for the help and I get it. So I keep it at a very, very simple level. I wrote down some of the many, many changes and that have happened since being in this program and being in recovery. This is an example. We have a personal trainer who comes to our home. She's a lady who's retired from personal training and just my husband and me as her only clients. And she comes to our home 3 times a week for an hour. And she has me doing planks. And I am no athlete, believe me. And so that's one of these shocking transformations. And I do a 2-minute plank, and my husband does a 1-minute plank. And this trainer rubs it in. It really makes me kind of nervous. I don't want her to discourage my husband. But look, Walter, look, Nancy's doing a 2-minute plank. And I feel like, hey, you know, calm down. She's even had him take pictures of me to send to my kids because she's so amazed that I can. I don't even think I do them that well, but she's thrilled that I do them. And then the other thing is we go for walks as part of this training. And I've noticed I have my phone with me, and the phone has a beautiful camera in it. It really is remarkable. And if I see it like a spider web in the rain, if I see a spider web on a bush when I'm walking, I stop and I see the beauty of that, the glistening raindrops on the spider web, and I take a picture. Well, when I was into my disease and into depression, I wouldn't notice a spider web on a bush. I wouldn't even be walking. I couldn't walk. And a flower, to take a close-up of a flower, and we live by a river, take pictures of the birds. And sometimes I feel like crying. The beauty is so overwhelming. And this is all new to me because before I think I was so depressed, I didn't even notice these things. And so that's a change. I didn't wear makeup when I was 272 pounds. I didn't even own makeup. And one of the boating ladies, who is just a sweetheart, is a Mary Kay sales lady. And she started leaving little samples all over our boat. And I said to her, Andrea, I said, Andrea, she was such a sweet human being. I said, Andrea, you're wasting your time. I don't wear makeup. I was almost kind of proud I didn't wear makeup. I think I almost felt morally superior not wearing makeup, that it was like I was natural. But she kept leaving these samples. And then one day she said to me, Nancy, and I still wasn't buying makeup from her, she said, can I come to your home and do a party? And I like her so much, I said yes. And I thought, gee, I wonder who will come. And we had a Mary Kay, it was the most unlikely person to have a Mary Kay party. And we had such a wonderful time. You know, here I went from being depressed and in isolation and hiding from these boating women, and now I'm having them in my home for a makeup party. I mean, this is how things change so much when you recover. You can't even predict all the little changes. And I ended up buying makeup, and I ended up wearing makeup, and now I have makeup all on the counter in my bathroom. It looks like a display room, and I love the makeup. In the morning when I'm listening to Vision for You, I'm putting on my makeup. That's really what happens. And I know I only have a minute or two left. There's so much more I could say about. I go to workshops and retreats and 3 minutes, listen to podcasts. Podcasts have been, from Vision for You especially, have been so incredibly important. Remarkable, because when I first got abstinent and I was so hungry, you know, getting used to not eating the vast amounts of food, because I've always been just an overeater, just a volume eater, like the whole loaf of bread, 12 bagels, whatever it might be. So in order to not eat, I would lay in bed at night after I went to a meeting. I went to a meeting every night when I started with my abstinence, and I still go most nights. But what do you do when you get home and you're starving? I lay in bed and I listen to these magnificent podcasts. And I won't name names because I know we're not supposed to put people on pedestals, but I'm so indebted to the people who do these magnificent podcasts because they saved my life. Oh, that's the other thing. That's the other thing I want to say is when I said to my daughter, what do you think I should say when I talk to these people, Jeanette? And I'm 74 years old now. I was 69 when I started. And she said, tell them that because of this program, you will be alive to see your great-grandchildren. That's what she said. So I have such a supportive family. I mean, I'm so fortunate. And I have so many more things to say, but I just want you to know that my favorite paragraph in the big book is on page 152, because I think it's for people like me who are getting into the later years of their life. And you might think, well, what's ahead for me? And it tells us here in the big book, have you a sufficient substitute? They're talking about a substitute for food. Yes, there is a substitute, and it is vastly more than that. It is a fellowship, and I'm going to say an Overeaters Anonymous. There you will find release from care, boredom, and worry. Your imagination will be fired. Life will mean something at last. The most satisfactory years of your existence lie ahead. Thus we find the fellowship, and so will you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nancy. That was amazing. It always makes me cry to hear people's that have been given a life. So we have one more game, and I don't know what it is. Oh, so there are two truths and one is a lie. So pretty simple. You just read the things and you pick out which one is the truth and which one's a lie. So circle the one that's a lie. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I will give you, there's 10 of them, so I'll give you 2 minutes. Wow. Okay, starting now. One minute. Okay, time's up. Okay, so if y'all want to just yell out which one is wrong, A, B, or C for number one. A is wrong. Yep. Well, it's A. Okay. I don't know what happened. How come mine's different? Okay. A is wrong. A is wrong. Okay, the word sponsor is mentioned 10 times in the big book. That is wrong. Okay. Okay, mine's, I don't know why mine's different. The second one, steps 6 and 7 are two of the longest sections of the big book. That's wrong, correct. Okay, when the line was written in the big book, this information was based on the very first meeting of AA in which all members stood up. At that time, the head count was exactly 100 men and women. No, that is not true. I'm on number 3. Okay, so D is wrong. And number 4, Bill W. attended a night law school at New York University. That is wrong. A is wrong on 4. And number 5, B is wrong. The big book mentions higher power at least 98 times within the first 164 pages. That's wrong. Number 6, B is wrong. Bill's story promises that we will be rocketed into the 6th dimension. Yeah. And 7, A is wrong. The initial form of the steps in 1935 had 13 steps. No. What? Okay. And number 8, B is wrong. The alcoholic has a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of 90 meetings in 90 days. Yeah. Okay, and number 9, B is wrong. The big book states that living amends are to be completed after step 9 has been done the first time. No. Okay, and 10, B, Oprah Winfrey listed the Big Book as a book of the month three times since the start of her talk show in the 1980s. No, I don't think so. Okay, so who? Yeah, it would be helpful if she did. Who got all of those right? Anybody get all of them right? Okay, how about nine? Nine of them right? Yay. Gentlemen in the right, yay! Woohoo! Okay, I know that I think we're supposed to be ending at 10 of because I don't even have an agenda yet to know what's happening next, but I'm sure people are ready for dinner. Does anybody want to ask any questions of anybody they've heard from tonight? Yeah, okay, well, thank you everyone for coming. Don't forget to come back here tomorrow at 5 o'clock.